can resist the greatest figure eight track of musky fishing songs?
Death Raiders in a storm. Death Raiders in a storm. Into this lake we're born. Into the rocks we're thrown. This bait is twitching like a toad. For the muskies I am told, traitors in a storm.
How can you live without the greatest 8-track hits of muskie fishing? I don't know how.
Heard it from a guy who, heard it from a guy who, said you're fishing logs when no one's around. Heard it from a guy who, heard it from a guy who, said he's trolling while I was all over town.
Every time I hear these songs, all I can think is about Pepsi's.
I packed my boat last night, free bite. Starts at 9 a.m. and I'm gonna be drunk as I go by then. And I think I'm gonna troll a long, long time. I drink them Pepsi till I go blind. I'm not the man that wants to cast out.
But who could forget the greatest disco tube song of the 1970s?
Tonight, I wanna give you my tune.
Greatest bump board protest song from the 8-track era.
Four muskies, but I keep trolling. Four muskies caught on the troll. The waters in the 1980s. Four dead on old Flambeau.
How can you resist Elmer standing by for just 4,049 payments of $32.65?
Baby, I love some Jay every day. I wish that Steve would go away, just Jay. I wanna listen to Jay every day.
All right, folks, welcome to the Muskie 360 Podcast to Jay Bird.
Steve, how's it going?
I am here and it is hot. I am finally back to Hacienda Paul here in the Bait Cave Studios. It has been, man, if you were like, where did the podcast go? I've been in a car, Jay, for what seems like eons.
Coming back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle, coming back from Canada.
Yeah.
Whipping ass on Wabagoon is what I say, boys. It was ridiculous. A lot of fun was had by all. So, got to fish with some great friends up there, and we had a really good team.
Yeah.
Good time.
Awesome.
It was good stuff.
That's great.
You're going to see a video from that, what, tomorrow? On the kamikaze.
Hope so.
Kamikaze.
I hope so.
Kamikaze. You better get it done, boy. Kamikaze.
I need the clothes.
Well, we already sent the clothes. You'll have it here in a minute. We're done.
It's okay.
You better text Jody, say, send the clothes. So I filmed her today. So that was all good stuff. So other than that, folks, I apologize for the delay. It has been, you know, Jay, it's hard to do the funny intros on the road. It's hard to keep up with things. It has been wild. I've been wild.
Well, in Canada, you had a lot of Wi-Fi issues and, connection issues.
Feral. Last week, I had to have Doc Boy Randy. That was just ridiculous. We uploaded it from a Tim Hortons parking lot, Jay. It's 4 a.m. It was not pretty.
Did you? Well, kind of sounded like it.
It was a tough one. That was about as many Pepsis as a man could have and work a computer. But I found what the number was, and that was it. Other than that, folks, the comings and the goings at the Muskie Shop. What do we got here? Ready to Rumble.
We got
by
a lot
one.
Of cool stuff.
A lot of cool stuff. Buy one Northwind Rumble Beast. 8 or 6, get one free. So if you buy one, get one on that, which is cool. Those are the old, that is the DB08. Right.
Yep, DB08, DB06, like the old Bagleys.
That is the same bait. Those have been catching muskies since the dawn of Thames. Dinner teams.
Absolutely agree with you.
You know, if that's not something you're fishing, that's something to add to your repertoire, especially on shad-based stuff, if you're a reservoir guy or shaddy. It's not super downsized. It's like a smaller profile, and they seem to pick up on those, which is cool. I've always thought, I think, you know, like with slammer stuff, the nod of the hat for slammer is a crane bait, obviously, right? I think for the slammer deep, he's tipping the hat to the DB08. Right? And so you sort of look at it, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Sort in the same ball game, and there's some magic in them wood, though, Jay. Magic wood.
I've been a fan of the DB08s for years. Yep. Used to troll those things. Great casted. Yep. But it's buy one, get one free. I mean, this is a short time deal. We just put it up today.
Very cool. Very cool. Other stuff that's going on. Kamikaze. Yeah. We got a bunch of kamikaze. I finally have a computer that works in front of me. The Kraken. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Jay, I didn't even tell you this.
What?
Freaking Herbeck goes out day before yesterday, 54-incher on Kraken.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're going to see those pictures here shortly. So it was just the wet, hot Canadian summer on Kraken. Those fish were rocking the reefs on us. You'll probably see some big Kraken fish from my month up there and my travels. It's like my first day home in eons. It's ridiculous. But the Kraken was just tearing them up. It's a different presentation. That's going to be cool. The Kamikaze's in. Sort of cool stuff that also showed back up. Trilogy, bucktails, right? So if you're looking for a bucktail that is just, self-starting or whatever you want to call it, those are back in. A lot of people like throwing those.
Yeah, no clovis, right? Bite back. Yeah, those have been a while, so we got some of those.
Kind of different. And then you got this Slopmaster spoon.
Coming in every week.
It's kind of cool.
Flying out of here.
Yeah, the spoon, I mean, it's one of those deals, man. If you want to get in the nastiest of nasties, and I'm always looking to get in the nastiest of nasties, Jay. Wow, there's not many left. What do you got?
There should be more coming in tomorrow.
Yeah, we got five. Yeah,
those things have a titanium weed guard now, which is kind of cool because that's the part of any weedless spoon that after use, abuse, and catching fish is going to wear out and absolutely snap off after time. Yeah. So that thing's permeable to damage.
So there's just a handful left, which is the five of diamonds. With the man, that's a cool bait though, with the freaking Goldilocks tail on it. So, if you're fishing the slop, I know how you kids like them sloppy, Jay.
Sure,
yeah, you can.
Made right.
You can get her in there and just lace her in and do some stuff. That's a cool bait. Like I said, I've watched Book Daddy catch some fish over the years, and it's neat that it's back. Cranes 205, 206, 207. A hot load showed up, Jay, of cranes. Hot load of cranes.
Rare and beautiful is the way I describe those. Beautiful.
So it's cool. What else? I'm looking here. We've caught up on meat grinders are in. Like Flynn, if you've been waiting on your meat grinders, those are in. Finally caught up. It's just like that freaking the insanity of the early part of the year. Okay, Shad Daddy's out. What we got here? Waiting on a couple, but get your meat grinders. You're going to talk about something sloppy. Grinding the meat or spooning, right?
Sure.
Do you grind or you spoon, Jay? Either way.
You got to grind. You got to grind. Point that rod forward and let it rip through.
Rip through. We want to get grindy or spoony. So if you're in the nasty stuff and you want to do the big nasty spots, spoon or grind. Grind or spoon. It is your choice, Jay.
Okay.
It's a decision you have to make on your own. Other than that, pretty exciting stuff. Glad to be back home. It has been, Jay, I've been living out of four Rubbermaid totes and pulling a boat across North America.
It's like you're in Canada for 3 weeks. I mean, it felt like 21 days.
It felt like 21 days. It was unbelievable. Next year's even longer. Prepare yourself. It's just going to be ridiculous. So we will.
Oh, next year when I take the entire summer off?
Well, you should. If you don't, you're a moron.
Anyway, mark it off on the calendar.
There you go. So, folks, we're going to do a shorty and get back on the back in the saddle this Sunday. So it's an in-between episode. So we're going to catch
up. He's back, baby.
We're just going to catch up on a couple Q&As here. And then this next Sunday, we'll be right back to normal. I apologize for anything you've heard over the last 6 weeks. I had too much Pepsi or not enough Pepsi, Jay. There's way too much Pepsi. There was a lot of that. And, you know, just general letdowns. So if you're waiting for hour-long episodes, they're coming next week. We're going to phone her in one more week. Let's start here. Richard, have a trolling question. How do you set up the reel while you're trolling? Bait clicker on with drag tightened down or back off the drag? How do you get the lure out there? How do we send a lure down the line? I'm going to paraphrase his question. So... okay. If I'm going to feed a lure out while I'm trolling, I already have my drag and the clicker on. I'll just rip line. It seems to be the quickest way for me. You can always knock the clicker off and just free spool it, right? And send it out. But don't fool with the drag. Once you get a good drag setting, leave it alone. Line will come off of the reel quicker without the clicker, Jay. Quicker without the clicker. So if you need...
yeah, the clicker applies more tension. Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to get her out there faster, back the clicker off and just snap her into place. Jay, but not you, Jay. Yes. Another Jay.
Ooh.
Sorry to interrupt your early morning Pepsi sipping, but I have a question / questions here. Wondering if you could provide any info on so-and-so like in Hayward. Headed up there the first week of October, baits, collars, and maybe a few starting points. I have some good mapping for this, quote-unquote, lake. It's very overwhelming for me. So if you can break it down a bit more and throw in a few good nuggets of information. So just in general, let's talk October. Let's talk Wisconsin. I'm going to be thinking deeper and more aggressive. So thinking Krakens, thinking tubes, thinking dogs, right? Most of these fish, by the time we hit October in an area like Hayward, they've seen every bucktail and every freaking topwater on planet Earth. You're not doing anything new. Do something different. Get your glide bait game down and get your rubber game on. So definitely tubes. I'll say this as far as the color that works on that specific lake is that pumpkin green seems to do dynamite and white. So those are the two I'm thinking there. And if you need a little...
well, when you said that lake, you mean that lake?
Yeah, that lake.
Gotcha.
That lake, yeah.
Cool lake.
So these fish are going to be mid-depth. So anything you can find on your map where you got mid-depth areas adjacent to dead or decaying weeds and probative baits. Now, if you can't get them on rubber... moderately deep running crankbaits, Livingston Lures Pounder, Depth Raider, the Big Fork Avatar stuff seems to click over there, right? There's a Big Fork Avatar that's like a hollow walleye that works really well there. So that's a cool bait, and that's like in the 6 to 8 foot on the cast there. Blake, hey, I'm from Ohio, and pretty much the only habitat that holds muskies around here is reservoirs. Can you give us an episode covering the topic of reservoir muskie fishing year-round, as I'm sure there's a difference between these southern reservoirs and the typical northern ski habitat? Thanks in advance. Love the podcast. Full episode, no, but let's talk reservoirs right now. I will do something on reservoirs over the winter, and we'll get kooky on it, right? So reservoirs have inflow, outflow, up and down water levels, depending on what's going on, seasonality. How do we approach them? So... the main takeaway I would say on a reservoir, and this bodes back to next level muskie fishing. If it's not, you haven't read it, sort of dial in on this, because there's a lot of channels in reservoirs and they're overlooked quite often, whether it be creek channels, feeder channels, or main channels, right?
Sure.
A reservoir by its very nature has water in, water out. Okay. So you need to be aware of channels, and you need to be aware of any fluctuation, right? So falling water, bad. Raising water, good. Say it with me now, Jay. Falling water, bad. Rising water levels, good.
Good. Good. Yeah, and stable water, good.
Right, so stable's good. But we need to make adjustments based on what's happening minute by minute, second by second when we're fishing a reservoir, because it can change so quickly and just really throw you for a loop. So focus.
Quickly, what's your number one reaction to falling water when it does get really tough? Because I've been plagued with that all year. My river has been going down for 2 months.
Mm-hmm. So fish like stability. So falling water is not good. They're going to seek deep water refuge. They're going to adhere to deeper break lines. So as a reservoir falls, the entire bite moves out and possibly suspended, depending on, like, let's say it's falling. Mm-hmm. But reservoirs are kooky in the nature of, like, if they're really blasting and they're sucking water out of like crazy, you have some tremendous current in the middle.
Okay.
Now we're looking for seams. But if it's this kind of gradual fall, they'll move out and move out and move out. So, you know, the first contact point or the first major break becomes my main consideration. Where is the first major contact point or break line from the bottom of this body of water? Whether it be a river, a reservoir, or a lake, right? What are they going to adhere to? That safety zone. So think about safe zones. Think about where fish are going to feel the most comfortable until things stabilize. Muskies are kooky, and they just want stabilization. Bimpus McStimpus.
Ooh.
Doc Boy Rainey for president. He brings the ice to the people. He'll send those walleye guys somewhere else. He's got pictures of the biggest banana Steve's ever seen. Wow. Wonderful. Glad I read that one. You know, so hold on, let me look here. Tanner's looking for advice on a new trolling motor. Do I need spot lock or can I save a couple bucks? Thanks in advance. Yes, spot lock is awesome. I find that, like, having spot lock if you're a solo angler is kind of important. If you're fishing by yourself, if you're solo angler by yourself, but if you're fishing in nasty wind or something of that nature, it's far easier for you to spot lock on a point or off some break line and hit it well.
It is. Right, right.
You know, boat control, like quality boat control catches more muskies than anything. You know, if you're zooming in or zooming out, if your boat's sort of wavering on a break or wavering on an edge, you know, it makes things more haphazard. So solid quality boat control is going to allow you to pick things apart. Can I live without spot lock anymore? Yes. Do I use it all the time? No. But when I need it, it's money, right? It is pure gold. Like when I'm like, okay, this sucks so bad and is blowing a mortal hell, and I need to be able to really hit this point or hit this reef. I dealt with that a lot in Canada, Jay, like fishing reefs, and we had some nasty wind. We had one night with straight line winds of like 60 miles an hour.
Good times.
Yeah, great, good times, great oldies. We weren't on the water at that time, but the next day it was still blowing 30, right? So how are you going to hit a reef? How are you going to hit a point without just hammering on the trolling motor the whole time? So, you know, my thoughts on trolling motors is this. I would have more features on my trolling motor than my outboard, right? And that's a whole other thing. I need to talk about the outboards, Jay. Remind me here in a second. Say outboards. But
I'm going there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go there. Hold on to your pantaloons. Mm-hmm. But having like really quality boat control is so important on tough days. Spot lock it up. I never use the continuous on mine, really. I'm not big into those features like your boat will follow a contour. Don't let the boat follow the contour, but spot lock is money. Some of the routing stuff, maybe. So, you know, you can sort of come somewhere in between where you don't want to get the lowest caliber trolling motor where it doesn't have any features, but you might not need the contouring or all that crap. Find something in the middle. The other rule of thumb is get the biggest trolling motor you can afford. right?
Yeah, that's always key. That's always key.
You know, don't
Overpower it. Overpower. Yeah, if you think it's rated for 90, yeah, if 90 pounds is sufficient for that weight boat, you know, get one a step up. You're going to be happier.
You know, so what do you got? 65, 80, and 112. I think the Lowrance Ghost and the Garmin one will do 130. I got a 112 on a 21-foot boat, and it'll pull us 3 miles an hour. You know, that thing's cooking. You never tap, like a 36-volt system, you never really tap into the low power range. You're always running full tilt. Speaking of motors, Jay, prepare yourself for this, folks, if you've not heard this. None of you have.
Get ready for the motor story of the decade, folks.
So, let's just back it up. You may remember, sometime in March, I blew up a Mercury Pro XS, right?
I remember.
500 hours, and it pops like a top. The third piston arm connecting bolt comes undone, and it ventilates the motor like Swiss cheese.
Hello.
Hello. Not the best day on the water. I persevered. I don't throw fits, Jay. You've seen the footage. I go, eh, whatever. Trolling motor home. And go, you know, the doo-doo happens.
Mm-hmm.
They replace it. New motor.
New motor.
30 days later, the third connecting rod bolt breaks on the third piston and ventilates another Pro XS like Swiss cheese, right?
Oil spill.
This time, oil's coming out and it's smoldering. Wonderful.
No one was hurt, by the way, but...
Not yet. So there's oil everywhere. Old Steve gets out the fire extinguisher and thank God I had my Pampers on that day, Jay. Right?
Thought, surely.
Here we have a boat fire. Wonderful. Well, the fine folks at Mercury say, we'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Get another motor. Right?
This is number three, by
the way. Number three.
This year.
This is all the same calendar year. We're March, you know, June.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get another one. Driving with some awesome clients and from South Carolina. We're having a great time, right? Coming upstream. Pop! Guess what happens, Jay?
I have no
Third
idea.
Third piston connecting bolt for 100, Alex. Ding, 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 ding. Right? That son of a gun breaks again.
In the same exact spot.
This next day, guess where I have to be, Jay? I have to be in Budapest, Hungary. I didn't talk about this, I don't think, right? So I blow a motor, and I got to be in Budapest the next day, and I have trips the day after I get back. So Joni Michael, being the amazing spouse that she is, gets all over it like white on rice and handles it. Well, at the same time, BRP, Mercury's parent company, or whatever, not BRP, or whatever the hell it is, Brunswick, their computers have been hacked, right? So they can't tell me anything. There's no guide staff, pro staff, nothing's happening. Well, I need a motor. Well, I dig back in the old Papa Paul wallet, and we motor up, Jay, right?
Yeah.
Thinking they'll take care of it after the fact. I'm not even going to go down this rabbit hole too far, but I just want to tell the story.
Well, you know who hacked him? Elmer.
But
he does it for fun on his off days. But please continue.
What a lot of people don't know is Elmer Jensen is the master of Linux.
He's good, man. Unbelievable.
Does he know Linux like the back of his hand? Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I got a brand new motor, 2023, strapped on the back of the Steve Paul Mean Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it up to Wisconsin. I broke it in. I do everything right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Come up to Wisconsin.
Treat it like a gentle baby.
Gentle baby. Well, if you've popped three before, your fourth one in a year, you're kind of scared, right?
You're like,
yeah.
We're going to go half throttle here. Well, it might take a while to get on playing, guys.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
So get her on there. And by the time I leave Jay's house, folks, and speaking of, we need to talk about Neighbor Steve Fest here in a minute. But nonetheless. We're going to go down that rabbit hole too, Jay, just remind me.
No,
nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
I got 35 hours when I leave Wisconsin. Brand new motor, right? I meet Tim for the Netherlands. Tim mm-hmm. has shown up. He's flown in. Boy, is his arms tired. And we're on the goon. This is day two.
Dagoon.
And I'm going 25 miles an hour. And guess what happens? The connecting bolt on the third piston shears, ventilating the motor like Swiss cheese. So, I'm a licensed Coast Guard captain with thousands of hours of time on the water. I have done plenty of stuff in the business. I have, you know, between the Titan, the Kraken, the Titan Junior, everything that's coming out and all this fun stuff, I know what I'm doing. I was done, boys. Absolutely done. So, you blow four engines in a year. Now, I'm not... there's a joke there. I'll leave it alone. But... you, it's like Culver's parking lot, Jay.
Four muskies in old Flambeau.
Listen, when's the last time, Jay, do you ever pulled into a Culver's and blown a tranny in your vehicle?
Oh, man, it's, no, I haven't, but remember I've seen it done.
Yeah, I've seen it done. Anyway.
It's an old, yeah.
Old podcast joke, Reno. But anyway, at this point, I am done. I am so done. I am done, right?
Yeah, I'm done, but I'm in Canada, and I just got here, and what am I going
to
do?
Right, and I got practically a month here. Mm-hmm. I make a call to Ricky Bodsford, who is the head of Suzuki on the MLF, and guess who steps up, and guess who's working with Suzuki?
Hello.
It takes 2 seconds. Right? Nice. I put that son of a gun on there, and that thing runs like a scalded dog. Right?
Whisper quiet too, huh?
You can talk like we're talking right now at 6,000 RPM. So,
can
guys,
you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you because that thing's ridiculous. And guess what it's not doing? Blowing third connecting rod bolts on the third piston.
The oil stays within the motor itself,
I'm madder
what you're telling me.
Than hell at Mercury, right? So, I shouldn't go there, but I'm just sick of it. I've got every one of those things that blew up on videotape, Jay. Video.
Right.
It is on Betamax, what happened. So,
okay.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
And the soundtrack's on 8-track.
Well, the soundtrack's on 8-track, but these things popping, like blowing like freaking ridiculous. There's nothing scarier. Hell, me and Tim, I was, again, a Pampers moment. When you lose power, you kind of lose steering with a boat. Duh. Right?
Yeah.
10 feet from a reef.
Ugh.
I mean, the Steve Paul special barely ate it because that motor just gave out. And I was so mad. And like I said, Suzuki stepped up. So that thing is ridiculous. It looks like the alien from the movie Aliens. It does. It's meaner than a snake and just power for days. So yeah, that's been my motor saga, Jay. It's just motor and...
Well, that thing was parked in my driveway Saturday night. Did you notice it scared the deer away?
It did.
Yeah.
The cool thing with that motor, if you have a deer problem, get a Suzuki. So,
yeah, there you go.
If you've ever thought about a Suzuki, shoot me a message. What's the difference?
Okay.
Or I'm repowering. I am freaking stoked about it. It feels like, here's the cool thing with the Suzuki motor, though. It feels like a two-stroke where it's got power the entire way up, right? Where you come, a lot of like the four strokes, you put it in gear and you got a little bit of power and you hit this mid-range thing and there's nothing going on. You hit the top and you got gusto. This has power throughout the entire sweep of the throttle, which is cool. Trolls down like nobody's business and runs like a scalded dog. I'm going to get Ricky Bodsford on the podcast here shortly. He owns a thing called Bass 365 and, you know, works with like the top. I mean, he is the mechanic on MLF, dude. Right.
So it's 5 points higher than a Muskie 360.
It is 5 points higher, but nonetheless, it's a Muskie 420.
whatever.
But long story short, you know that it's gonna be cool. And like I said, nobody cares what motor I run, but dude, am I like, you ever get out of a bad relationship and you're glad to be done with it?
Well, like,
one of the people from Mercury called me. And I was like, he, whatever. I won't say what I said, but I said it on the phone. Don't call me again. I'm so dumb with it. Like,
Having a good motor is important to anybody that fishes, but you guide for a living, and it's just something you're using every day. Come on.
Dude, much less, like, one time could be my fault. Two times? No. Three times? No. Four times and different motors? You guys have a problem you're not addressing. And then the one guy calls me, well, have you checked the prop on your boat? Are you lugging the boat down? How could you be doing this? I said, I sure as hell looked at the prop and it says mercury on the side, and you guys water tested this son of a bitch. And instead of taking freaking ownership, you're kicking the can down the road because you're a mega corp that doesn't give two shits about the people that buy your products. That's what that is. Hell, Walmart will take socks back you bought 6 months ago. These sons of bitches got rid of Evinrude and they want to shit on everybody. It's absolute atrocity. God, sorry. I about got there, Jay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm coming out of character here. But
I get it.
I'm red-assed over it, Jay. Red-assed. Mm. Sorry, folks, for anybody that's listening on the way to church or has your kid in the car. But I'm done with them. Ask me why. No, it's just ridiculous. I mean, I will never, never again. And I know some nice people that work at Mercury. I know some great people that run Mercury. It is a different animal now. And you know what? If you screw up, take ownership. If you got a fault in your engines, take ownership of it. Do a recall. Right? Because the average guy, Jay, average guy runs 30.
He's going to be done, and he's going to move on. It's just like no more Chevys, no more Fords, whatever it is. It's just like you got.
Well, here's what I learned. So the average outboard engine for somebody that actively runs their boat runs 30 hours a year, right? 30 hours a year.
That's what they say? Yeah, okay. Right?
That's the national average.
Okay.
That's a slow week. Not really, but, you know, not that many hours, but you know, not that bad, but. You know, as far as from the second you turn it on to the time you shut it off, you know, like a tractor, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, if your engine in the first 3 years, which is under warranty for 3 years, if you buy a new Merc, it's 3 years, right? You're under 100 hours. 100 hours. You're barely, you're barely running it. By the time you're out of the warranty, you just got this thing cooking with gas. And that's when things start going bad.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Which is, meh, whatever. They'll buy another one. Evinrude's out of business. What are you going to do? I'm going to Suzuki is what I'm going
to
do.
Well, how do you think the average person, and I've talked to close to 1,000, that have had a problem with the reel.
Yeah.
They're done with that deal. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, they're going to a different brand, and they're going to find one. Granted, all these reels these days are really good. Yeah. I always equate it to, you know, how us guys are, you know, if you're a Ford guy, you probably aren't going to invest in a Chevy and vice versa. You know, are they both great? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they make great stuff now. Like, I'll tell you flat out, I'm really excited. I'm working a little bit. We got it set up with some Daiwa stuff, right? The TW.
Yes.
And I've been snake
fishing. Yes. And I've been talking to other guys recently about that TW. Yes.
And I got snake.
Fantastic. Now you got two of them.
Well, and the thing is just the very first Lexus that came, I got snake bit on. Right.
Different animal.
Animal. I was like, nah, never again. Not my cup of tea. You know, the old blue ones with the giant handle on them. And like, the new one. We just shot that hour long video that's coming out. Those freaking TWs are great. So you give it a chance. But like, my problem with the outboard thing is I mean, my outboard on my boat is like a drywaller's truck, right? It better start so I can get to the job site and get back. And man, am I sick of it. And they're like, you know, I hate to say that, and I've been a Mercury guy forever, but no freaking more. I've never seen just more blatant, not given two shits. I'm pardon well, my
you
friend.
Guys, if you compile all the hours you two, meaning Jody Michael and yourself, put just in the hassle, you know, factor of having to make that thing right all four times, it's just like You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, you give them a call and yeah, they come to your house and pop a new one on. It's the driving, the phone work, the waiting.
I'll tell you it's what, though, that got a whole different level of love from Merck Canada than I did the freaking. I'll start with the folks from Fond du Lac, right? Folks for F from Fond du Lac. Whole okay. different level of folks in Canada. Because they, do you know what they deal with that engine, Jay, at 37 hours? They're pulling that sucker in like an alien autopsy. It is on a pallet and is going to somebody that knows something's wrong. And the people in Fond du Lac will not admit that they have a problem on the third connecting rod bolt on the 115 engines. Right?
Okay.
So, yeah, Canada's all over it like a cheap suit. That's going to be funny. And there's going to be some freaking emails that go out with the folks from Fond du Lac here shortly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not fired up. I'm not fired up at all, buddy. I'm not sure. fired at I'm, you know, you get me going. There's a few things you can get me going on. And that one just burnt me to no end. Right.
Well, anyway. Yeah, and the passing of Dick Stemke, I mean, that got us both going. I mean, it was a heartfelt tragedy,
it was tough.
We got through it, man.
You know, what do you do?
Hey, did you hear the rumors?
What?
Did you hear the rumors that Stemke faked his death and he's living in Argentina right now?
with Hitler and the boys?
Who knows, man? It's a conspiracy theory, but...
He faked his death to avoid property taxes.
He's bowling down there right now. His little heart out.
Bowling his heart out. Freaking folks, if you're not seeing it, Dick Stemke, the LakelandTimes.com. That was amazing. And I framed mine, Jay.
I just framed mine this week. It is
probably the most pepsificated thing I've ever done in my life. I was in tears. And
we both were.
It was pretty tough. Anyway, I'm sorry to go down the rabbit hole on the Merck thing. It just is just disappointing and disheartening but that's just the way of the world. You know, when you deal with a megacorp, guess what you get? Megacorp results. So anyway, but what am I going to say? Suzuki and Yamaha. Hell, Yamaha makes pianos and outboards. So does Suzuki.
And dirt bikes.
So it's all the same. I mean, whatever. Nobody cares about my woes and as no one should. But other than that, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Mitch, I'm looking to dial in on a new fish finder. I have a budget for a single unit somewhere in $1,000 to $1,500. What do you recommend? Jay, I think that's a very similar question to like the trolling motor thing. Get as much as you can afford. Right? A fish finder is going to be data. So the more features you can get, the better you are. Side scan, dowel scan. You're probably not going to get live imaging for that money right now, but you know.
You got to get into like the $2,000 issue to get into live imaging. I'm not sure. I'm just asking.
It's getting there. I mean, okay. When I looked, I think like the Garmin transducer, the LV or LVS 32, which I run. I think that just the transducer is like 1500 bones right now. So I think you could probably get into Panoptix for like $3,000 right now. That's without mounting it. And I could be wrong. There might be packages, but you know, if you're just going, dude, isn't that ridiculous? I'm so sick of like, don't get me fired up on inflation and other stuff. But, you know, it's a very expensive endeavor to run a modern boat. So, personally, I like the Lowrance stuff, man. You can get to the Elite TIs. You can get some really good stuff with good downscan, side scan, and mapping. Get as much as you can, the most bang for your buck. If you're not getting live imaging, get the most features out of a unit. Garmin, Hummingbird, Lowrance, they all make great stuff. Features, right? I would say the comparison, I think Lowrance has the best down scan. I think Hummingbird has the best side scan, but there's like the versatility of the two. We've talked about it before. I think Lowrance is the most advanced, and you can dial things in the best. Hummingbird's a little bit more plug and play, but just do your research. More bang for the buck. Get the best deal you can. Not to plug them, but Steve at bassfishingelectronics.com. There's a link on the app. They'll have used units sometimes that are like factory certified or refurbs or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Check that out. That's worth a look there for sure. All right. One more here, Jay, before we dial in for next week. And
yeah.
Actually, we catch up on sleep. Kyle, what is the main differences that you see between the swimming dog and the Poseidon? They both look like swim baits to me. I'm sort of new to the muskie game. What's the difference? How do I decide when to run a Poseidon and when to run a swimming dog? So let's assume, Jay, they're the same size. What do you see?
Yeah, the 10-inch model is, well, they're coming out with an 8-inch model in the Chaos Poseidon.
Right.
I'm not sure when we're going to be able to get them, but the 10-inch has been the industry standard for a while. The swimming dogs, I think they're about, are they 8 and 11 inches with the regular
something
and the standard?
Yeah.
So the Magnum's probably closer to the Chaos Poseidon version. It's a rounder profile, especially on the shallow models. Musky Innovations has shallow models of the swimming dogs, which have a slower sinking rate. And those things are extremely popular earlier this season. There's a ton of fish caught on those. That was a go-to presentation for a lot of people.
The funny thing, we talked about that bait, I remember a bunch of episodes back, that the shallow version weighs more than the heavy version, but it's just like a hollow body swim bait, right?
Yeah.
You know, but, I think the swimming dog has a fatter wobble on the body, where the Poseidon's a little bit tighter. That's what I notice. I feel like
the Poseidon has a more pronounced wiggle.
Yeah, I feel like,
and the swimming dog actually has a more of a swim. It's kind of hard to describe the wobble on those. You got a
side by side, they're pretty different. To me, swimming dog slow applications, Poseidon fast. I think that's the best way to sort of like differentiate between the two. I don't feel like the Poseidon does too terribly much at slow speeds, where the swimming dog's like wobbling, bleh, 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 flipping side to side. That would be my take there. I don't know, Jay. How do you pick?
How do you pick? Maybe. Yeah, well, right, yeah. Pick your, you know, basically, I would say the Poseidon is closer to the shallow version of the swimming dog, of the Magnum one, in overall running depth. So, you know, if fast, you want a shallow presentation thing, you can run it kind of like a bulldog with some not violent. You don't work them like, you don't work them with those hard pulls like you would sweeps and stuff like that. It's more of a gentle sweep to get the thing to surge a little bit and then back off, and you can let it sink a little bit. But yeah, it's even straight retrieves work on those things.
Yeah, that's primarily when I'm throwing swim baits, reel a little bit, maybe pop, stop, you know, a little funky stuff now and again. But, you know, you don't have to get too crazy. But just like a bucktail, you need to add some flavor in if you want to get more bites. Surge, stop. I mean, that's the thing with a swim bait. You can let it fall. So mix it up. But like I said, slower application, swimming dog, faster stuff, Poseidon, sort of where my head goes. Jay.
Yes, dude.
It's been a long trip. We're going to wrap her up this week, and we'll come back next week with a full tilt hour of power.
Sounds great.
Ridiculous Muskie Talk. Jay Bird, say goodnight.
Night, guys. Thank you.
Later.